الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، يا رحمة الله الواسعة، ويا باب نجاة الأمة، ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فأما إن كان من المقربين فروح وريحان وجنة نعيم، وأما إن كان من أصحاب اليمين فسلام لك من أصحاب اليمين، وأما إن كان من المكذبين الضالين فنزل من حميم، فنزل من حميم وتصلية جحيم، إن هذا لهو حق اليقين، فسبح باسم ربك العظيم. Refresh your minds and souls with a loud salawat for Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. The journey to the hereafter is one of the most perplexing and confusing and bewildering journeys to the most experts. All philosophers, Muslims and non-Muslims, confess that when they deal with the issue of eschatology, with the issue of death and the final departure and life after death, they are dealing with a very dark and non-ambiguous and very mysterious issue. They navigate through uncharted territories. Not only the Muslim philosophers tell you that I know nothing about this, don't ask me. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that people used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and they used to ask him all sorts of questions, and the answer was ready there. And if it was not ready, he will tap into the divine resource. Within a matter of seconds, Jibreel will come with a fresh, accurate answer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِتُ لِلنَّاسِ. They come to you, ask you about the phases of the moon. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. They ask you about wine and gambling. يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ. What do we do regarding spending? What do we spend? قُلِ الْعَفْوِ. There were answers ready. But when it came to this vital question, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ. They come to you and ask you about the spirit, about the journey of this spirit. Where does it begin? Where does it end? What will happen to us after death? Where do we go? Give us some details. The answer comes, قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. This knowledge only pertains to God, belongs to God. This is the special knowledge of God. And all of humanity, whatever you do to find out what will happen, you would never reach an answer to this reality, to this journey. Not only perplexing to our philosophers, even non-Muslim philosophers. Take, for instance, Thomas Hobbes, the English philosopher, almost 400 years ago. Before his death, he was very confused and perplexed. And he said to those who were around him, he's a philosopher, but he said that I'm about to take my last voyage. It's a great leap in the dark. A great leap in the dark. I don't know where I am heading. I don't know anything about my destination. Don't expect me. Ask me about any issue. I have an answer ready for it. But about this journey, I know nothing. I am taking a great leap in the dark. It is very mysterious for me. And this is what Allah says in the Quran. Allah says, after death, we're going to come across scenes and events that never crossed our mind. Never crossed our mind. Never crossed our mind. وَبَدَى لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ. They're going to come across scenes after death that never crossed their minds. They never calculated. They never anticipated. Not even in their dreams. لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِنْ هَذَا فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ. You were completely unaware of this journey, life after death. By the time you close your eyes, we take you somewhere that is going to be a great shock and surprise for you. We're going to remove the curtain from your eyes. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. We're going to see new scenes, new events. Events are going to unfold dramatically, one after the other. Where do we go? Brothers and sisters, here when we are about to travel, the first thing we ask about is the itinerary. You study your itinerary. You know where you're heading. What is the itinerary of death, this final departure? Who can tell me about it? First thing we see, let's go through some highlights of the Akhirah. And I chose this subject tonight at the outset of this session, holy session that belongs to Ahlul Bayt and subscribes to the school of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam, for a reasonable point, for an important point, because Imam Hussein alayhi salam in his message, the message of Ashura, he addressed the final departure, the day of judgment, Al-Ma'ad. The message of Ashura was so comprehensive that embraced all the fundamentals of our religion and faith. Monotheism of Allah, the justice of Allah, the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the imamah of the imams, and finally, the day of judgment, the day of accountability. He addressed this issue on the day of Ashura. He reminded the people that you have an important appointment. You are not here to stay. This is just a bridge that's going to transfer you to the eternal abode. So don't try to enjoy your life here. Try to focus on your final destination. We are not here to stay. We are here, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, to be put for test, to be tested here. أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, which one does the best? Allah expects me to do the best, A plus, not less than A plus. أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, not أَيُّكُمْ يَعْمَلْ. We know you are all working and struggling, but we are searching for the best. أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. And hence in these nights we have to remember our final destination. If you want to understand Imam Hussein alayhi salam well, intellectually, not emotionally, then you have to get connected to him through his messages. And one of the prime messages of Ashura is to remember the final destination, to remember the departure, to be ready for departure. Banu Umayyah and most of the people who came, at least 30,000 fighters filled the landscape of Karbala on the day of Ashura. This is the least number. Some historians put them at a million. Million men came to fight the son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at this tragedy. I feel sorry for the people. On that day Imam Hussein said to them, you missed the point. You don't believe in the Akhirah. If you believe in something called the Day of Judgment, the Day of Accountability, you would not come and fight the son of the Prophet, the son of the founder of this religion. So the first highlight of this journey, final journey, is the stupor of death, Sakratul Maut. The intoxication, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدُ. This is what we face. This is the first scene. This is the first encounter. Are we ready for it? Allah says, سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. Many people when they write an obituary, they say, he died in peace. He died in peace. Do you know that he died in peace? Is it really so peaceful? So beautiful, so easy. Allah says, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ. Allah is the designer of death. Allah is the manufacturer of death and life. He says, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. A state of suspended sensibility. Not that we don't feel, we do feel. I wish we don't feel. We feel, but we cannot react. We cannot react. The first thing we encounter is that we become unable to speak. We become unable to speak. يَنْعَقِدُ لِسَانَهُ. The hadith says, the mouth or the tongue gets crippled. Crippled. Would not function. You want to say something. You want, I need help. Please. Mom, dad, wife, son, help me. But we can't. We try to cry, we try to shout, we try to call upon them, but we can't. The only sound or voice that we hear is the sound of the gargle. Allah mentions this in the Quran. Mentions this. كَلَّا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِي. When the soul reaches here. وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقِ. كَلَّا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِي. وَقِيلَ مَرَّاقٍ. Can we find a doctor for him to help him, an ambulance? وَقِيلَ مَرَّاقٍ. Who can save his life? وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقِ. ظَنَّ here, he's certain. ظَن, in this context, it means certainty. وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقِ. Allah enables us to know we are leaving. The philosophers believe that each and every person, no matter how many times you are involved in deadly accidents, if death, the time of death has not arrived, you know that you are not dying. But when the right time comes, you are the first one to know. Even if the doctor says, he's not dying, we can save his life. Allah enables you to know. And this is part of God's grace. He give us some time to go back to him. He give us some time to say, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. He give us some time. وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقُ وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْمَسَاقُ. So this is the first encounter. Imam Zain al-Abidin says, أَشَدُّ السَّاعَاتِ عَلَى ابْنِ آدَمْ سَاعَةٌ يُعَيْنُ فِيهَا مَلَكَ الْمَوْتِ. The most dreadful, the most distressful and a frightening moment in our life is when we see the angel of death approaching us. Approaching us for business, not for a courtesy visit, but to say hello. He says, I have a business. Let me do my job. That is the most frightening moment. And then after this, we come to the second scene. If we pass this stage, we come to the second scene of this journey, the second station, the second stage. What is the second stage? Immediately after death, we are buried. They take us to the new home. Where is the new home? By the way, I want to remind myself and my brothers and sisters here that when you find someone, a loved one, a relative, a friend, parents, they are in their final stages of life and they are leaving, don't abandon them. Don't leave them. Don't leave them to the mercy of the nurses and doctors. Stay with them. Stay with them. Stay with them. This is my advice. They need you at that time. Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam says, at these painful, distressful moments, they need to see you standing next to them. Take him, if he's at home, take the dying person ila musallah, to the place where he used to stand before Allah. To the place where he used to put his forehead on the floor. Take him to that place. And then recite chapter 36 and 37, Surah Yasin and Surah As-Saffat, to help him get through this stage. That will mitigate the pain of death, Sakratul Maut. And then we go to the new home. If we are to buy a new house, the first thing we ask about it is, what is the size of this house? What are the features of this new house? So what are the features of the grave? I come across many traditions, prophetic traditions, traditions related to our Imam, describing the grave for us. But nothing disturbs me more than this hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The Prophet has been reported to say, مَا رَأَيْتُ مَنْظَرًا فَضِيعًا إِلَّا وَالْقَبْرُ أَفْضَعُ مِنْهُ. I never come across a terrifying scene but to see the grave more frightening and more terrifying and more shocking. The Prophet says, we go to the cemetery. What is our experience with death? What is our knowledge about death? We go to the cemetery and we see the grave. What do we see? We see dust and dirt. But the real thing is totally different. The real scene that the Prophet can see and perceive, that the Imam can see and perceive, is completely different. They see something else. The Prophet says, I see some terrifying scenes inside this small ditch or hole. Very terrifying scenes. إِلَّا وَالْقَبْرُ أَفْضَعُ مِنْ. What are the features of this place, a new house? First of all, what is the size of it? The size, it's very narrow, it's very tight, it's very dark, secluded, isolated, and it is utter solitude. We are alone there. We are alone. Do you read Dua Abu Hamza al-Thamali and see how Imam Zayd al-Abidin, in his communion with Allah, he pleads to Allah, he implores Allah, إلهي ارحم في ذلك البيت الجديد غربتي. I'm going to stay alone. وحشة القبر. The first thing we see, the Prophet says, the most terrifying moment is the first night. أول ليلة في القبر. فارحموا موتاكم بالصدقة. Rush. Rush to their aid and help by paying charity or giving charity on their behalf. You don't have money, you have food. You have some food, you have some drink. Try to rush this food and a drink or money or clothing or whatever, whatever type of charity you afford to the needy and the poor. This is one solution. The other solution is Salatu Laylatul Dafn. On that night, if you have a loved one, if you love someone, if you care about him or her, remember them on the first night in that house. Remember them. Remember them with a two rak'ah. Very simple. You can ask about the description later on. Very simple. Remember them. This is the best gift you present to them on the first night in that house. Another thing we can do for our own grave and our own new house is when you go to Hajj. If you have not been to Hajj, you have to register for Hajj with God. Now make a vow with Allah that put my name for next year's pilgrims. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Al-hujjaj yarja'una 'ala thalathati asnaf." When we come back from Hajj, there are three categories, three types, three groups. The best group is the one when he comes back, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ وَوَقَاهُ عَذَابَ الْقَبْرِ. That is the best Hajj. You come back from Hajj, Allah forgives the past and the present of your sins. He erases your file, creates a brand new file for you. Not only this, and he protects you against the torment and the chastisement of the grave. This year, we had to walk for long distances from Arafat to Muzdalifah, from Muzdalifah to Mina. I saw some of the Hajjaj pilgrims were exhausted and restless. I said, listen, you are making a deposit. With this struggle that you are doing, you are making a deposit into the new home, the new house that we're going to go to it soon. You are making a deposit. You are furnishing this in your house, remodeling this in your house. So don't be exhausted. You are making a deposit here. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. States that يدخل على الميت في قبره الصلاة والصيام والحج والصدقة والبر ويؤتى أجره للذي يعمله وللميت. When we are in the grave, we are cut off from the outer world, and we do feel. Yes, we do feel. We have feeling inside the grave. The soul is kept there. And the soul, your soul, is the center of feeling. It's not the body. When you have pain here, in your arm, somewhere else, it's the soul that feels the pain first. And the soul sends the message to the arm to say, ah, I have pain. This is the soul. Here, the soul realizes everything and it can understand what's going on. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الْمَيِّتَ لَيَسْمَعُ خَفْقَ النَّعَالِ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ. A dead person resting in his grave can hear very well the tapping of the sandals above the grave. The tapping of the sandals. Yes. And I have plenty of narrations and stories here. My time is limited. Plenty of narrations from the time of the Prophet, from the time of our Imams, from the present time, that testifies to this fact that we do feel. We feel everything inside the grave. We feel everything inside the grave. So you can rush him with some prayers, with some Quranic recitation, with some charity. Do not abandon them. The Prophet says, when a friend goes to visit his grave, his friend's grave, إِنَّ الْمَيِّتَ يَأْنَسُ بِذَلِكَ. The dead person finds some joy and relief and sociability when you go to visit him and sit there for a while. These are the traditions of the Prophet. The Prophet himself used to go to the graves of the Shuhada in Uhud and inside Medina, inside the cemetery of Baqi'. And he would pay tribute to them. Imam Ali used to go to the cemetery and he stands there for hours and hours and he chats. One of his companions comes to him, what are you doing here? Chatting? He says, yes. إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَرْوَاحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ I am chatting with the souls of the believers here. This new house is two things and nothing else. Only two things. Either a garden of paradise. الْقَبْرُ إِمَّا رَوْغَةٌ مِنْ رِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ أَوْ حُفْرَةٌ مِنْ حُفَرِ النَّارِ Either a garden of paradise or a pit of chastisement and torment and hellfire. There is no third way. Either this or that. And the dead person, either he is the most happy there or the most distressed, depending on what we did here in this life. Depending on our deeds. And of course, some of them are removed from the grave immediately. We have some narrations that tell us that there are transferring agents, al-mala'ikatun naqqalah. Their job is dedicated to transfer the bodies from one place into another. The other day I had someone who told me that my father died and I took him to a good cemetery to bury him. I don't want to mention these stories. They are very painful. Apparently the father did not pray. A father who died at the age of 80. He never prayed. He never went to a mosque. She buried him. I said, how much you... She buried him in a non-Muslim cemetery. Of course. When you don't know God during your life, most likely you're not going to recognize him after death. So they took him to a non-Muslim cemetery. I said, how much you paid there? $10,000? She smiled. I said, $20,000? She smiled. I said, how much? She said, $70,000. $70,000 for a piece of a grave. $70,000. Why? Because I want him to enjoy the place. I said, read the hadith of the Prophet. There are some, I don't want to shock you, and I want to respect you and respect your family and your father. But who knows I'm going to stay in that place? Is it guaranteed? Is it guaranteed that they're going to leave me in that place? Read about the hadith that says there are some transferring agents that takes the body from one place into another. They take the body, they transfer the... Not only the soul is transferred, even the body is taken away somewhere else. He does not deserve this place. This is more painful. It reminds me of a story. A man, American man, went with his wife and his mother-in-law to Jerusalem to pilgrimage. And while they were there, the mother-in-law unfortunately died. So people told him that either you bury her here or you take her back to America. If you bury her here, it costs you $300. Take her back to America, it costs you $13,000. So he was thinking, and then he raised his head. He said, I'll take her back to America. They said, are you crazy? $300 here in Jerusalem, holy land. And it cost you $13,000 taking her back to America. He said, yes. Because Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago died here and he was buried here and 3 days later he was resurrected. So I don't want to take chances. So sometimes the body is transferred somewhere else. But this is not our own decision where to be buried. It's not our own decision. And then we move from the grave. And let me tell you something else before I move from the grave. To remind myself first that what make it worse, the torment of the grave, what really bring the most in the torment of the grave is al-istighfaf bis-salati wan-namimah, the hadith says. the negligence of the prayers. Not that you don't pray, you don't care about the prayers. Prayers is not a priority in your life. Prayers is the last thing in your mind. Al-istighfaf bis-salat. Not taking care of the prayers. Second, tale bearing, namima. Namima, to transfer bad news. Rumors, bad rumors from one house into another. This will contribute to the chastisement of the grave. This will increase the torment of the grave. And then we leave the grave and we come to another stage. The stage is the day of judgment. We stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. We stand before Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this situation for us. يا أيها الناس اتقوا زلزلة الساعة إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم. يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد. Beware and fear your Lord, because the convulsion, the shocking, the temple of the day of judgment is something very terrible. إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم. In chapter 99, Surah الزلزلة, إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها. Have you ever thought why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this particular expression about the beginning of the day of judgment? Why Allah uses the term زلزلة, convulsion? Why? There is a point here. When there is an earthquake, the earthquake destroys everything, demolishes everything, nothing survives. A powerful earthquake, when it comes and hits, it demolishes everything. All the buildings, all the infrastructures, all the homes, all the businesses. This is a parable in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the final and the grand earthquake, or the Templar of the Day of Judgment, destroys all the human infrastructures, all the economic, social, psychological, intellectual infrastructures and foundations. Nothing survives. No social relationship survives on the Day of Judgment. The strongest relationships are going to vanish, are going to be destroyed. Human relationships, parents-children relationships are going to be destroyed on that day. Marital relationships are going to disappear on that day. This is the meaning of zalzala. Nothing will survive on that day. Inna zalzalata sa'ati shay'un adhim. All social relationships are going to collapse. You have how many friends you have? You are not going to recognize them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, come to your immediate family. Even your immediate family, you're going to forget about them on that day. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. On that day, you're going to escape. You're going to run away from your brother, from your partner, from your children, from your parents. Allah says, يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَدْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. Look at this parable in the Quran. What is, if you were to ask today, what is the strongest human relationship on earth today? The most intimate and the strongest and the genuine. Don't tell me husband and wife relationship, huh? I'm saying genuine. What is it? A mother and a child. This is the strongest one. A mother and a baby. A mother and an infant. This is the strongest. Allah uses this strongest parable, يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا, to make it short for us to understand the point. Allah says, forget about husband and wife and two neighbors and two friends and two partners. Even a suckling mother is going to abandon and desert and throw her baby away and run away. يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضَعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. And every pregnant mother and wife is going to miscarriage and lose her baby. وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى. Intoxicated on that day. This is a powerful shaking, powerful shock that destroys all the infrastructures. Who survives here? Listen to the Quran. كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. Everything is going to become non-existence. Nothing will subsist on that day. Everything is going to perish except the face of your Lord. ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. We're going to arrive on a day of judgment. إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها. Allah says يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا. On such a day, day of resurrection, people are going to be resurrected. They stand in groups, but not social groups. Groups here means groups of the good doers, the righteous people, and groups of the evil doers. يَوْمَئِذٍ يَصْدُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتًا لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Their deeds are going to be displayed before their eyes on big screens. How? I really don't know how. Allah says لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. On that day we arrive, Allah says, when you arrive, you are not carrying your deeds in a briefcase with you, not under your arm. وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ. فِي عُنُقِهِ. We tie, we fasten his deeds to his or her neck. Every soul. وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ. وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا. اقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. Your records are going to be wide open before your eyes. You carry your deeds with you. And on that day, who is going to testify for me or against me? The closest thing to me, my skin. Allah says in Surah Yasin, اليوم نختم على أفواههم. We put a seal on their lips, on their mouths. وتكلمنا أيديهم وتشهد أرجلهم بما كانوا يكسبون. On that day we put a seal on their mouth. You are not allowed. وَخَشَعَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ فَلَا تَسْمَعُ إِلَّا هَمْسًا. Complete silence. No one has the right to utter anything. No one has the right to say anything. Complete silence. Complete silence on that day. Who's going to testify? وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ لِمَ شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. We turn to our skins and we complain. Oh my skin, you were with me, you were protecting me for 70 years. You are my skin, you are the closest thing to me. Why did you testify against me? لِمَ شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. قَالُوا أَنْطَقَنَا اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْطَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. God enabled us to speak and say the truth. Your skin is with you day and night, 24 hours a day. Even when you are secluded, even when you are in privacy, you can't peel your skin off and say, skin, stay here, I need to do something important. You can't. The skin is with us, and the skin is going to testify. And then one last point before I conclude. On that day, Allah says, you only receive the fruit of your deeds. The fruit of your deeds on that day. every moral act, and I'm going to elaborate on this on the upcoming nights, inshallah. In the upcoming nights, every moral act breeds moral implication. Nothing is going to escape. Nothing is going to go unnoticed. Every single act is going to breed a result, and we're going to see it there. إِنَّمَا تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ in Surah Yasin. Do you want to understand the Akhirah? Read these two chapters, Yasin and Waqa. Read them all the time. They are the best reminders. On that day, we're going to come in different shapes, different physical shapes, different physical shapes. It differs from the moment of death. Has nothing to do with the moment of death. On that day, there is a whole concept in Islam and in the Quran, embedded in the Quran. This concept is called Tajassum al-A'mal, the embodiment of the deeds. Physical embodiment. All the deeds, they become to take a physical shape. Even our shape is going to conform and match the spiritual state of us in this earthly life. Goodness is going to be reflected as goodness there. Evil is not going to be hidden. If I am an evil person, I can deceive you here. You think I'm a good man, but inside me I'm an evil. But I cannot continue this deception on the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, I will show my true face. Allah will force me to show my true face and a true character. There is no more deception on that day. That day is the day of absolute truth. Absolute truth. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. Nobody can put a surgery, cosmetic surgery, or a mask, or disguise under any mask. We're going to show our true face and our true personality and character. What shape, what spiritual shape you adopted here and you acquired here is going to show there when you stand from the grave. This is the message of Ashura, brothers and sisters. What do we do? Obviously, I don't want to frighten you. I'm a guest here. I want to make you happy. But also my duty here, my moral duty, my religious duty, is to make myself aware and my brothers and sisters. We have this journey ahead of us. الدنيا مزرعة الآخرة. You sow the seeds here, you reap the fruit there. You are the designer of your new house there. You are the architect of your destination there. So do well here. Take advantage of these few days here. Take advantage. One of the names of the Day of Judgment is Yawm al-Hasra, the day of a grand distress and a grand remorse and regret. وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ. Imam al-Sadiq says, it is not only a day of remorse for the non-believers. Non-believers are going to hell. It is a day of remorse and regret and sorrow for the believers, for some believers. They take a believer into paradise. They tell him, congratulations, you made it to paradise. But look up. Look 50 stories up. Look at your friend there. You are here in the economy class. Your friend is in the first class. And there is a house next to it. This house was reserved for you, was supposed to be for you. But unfortunately you wasted your time. An opportunity came to you to do well, to help someone, to go to Hajj, to get close to Allah. You spoiled that opportunity. You destroyed that opportunity. Someone came to you, someone who was distressed and said, I need help. And you could have helped that person. It would have taken only 10 minutes of your time. But Super Bowl was more important to you. Baseball was more important. You did not do well. فَلَوْ قُدِّرَ لَهُ أَنْ يَمُوتَ مِنَ الْحَسْرَةِ لَمَاتِ. If Allah allows death to come to him, he would have died out of pain and sorrow why he missed this opportunity. وَأَنْدِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ. This is the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We are here, as I said last night, to take something back home, to reflect on it. I am nothing but the slave of Imam Hussein. If he accepts me, to be his humble slave, this is my biggest honor. Let's take this message home with us. Let's be prepared for the final departure. أن تقول نفس يا ويلتا على ما فرطت في جنب الله. Allah says, be aware that a time will come that a soul will say, ya ويل, wow to me. Unfortunately, I missed many opportunities. I wish I had done this or that. This is the time. These are the nights that draw us close to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Ahlul Bayt, and ultimately to Allah, because they are the doorway, the gateway to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's now go transfer your heart to the land of Karbala. Let's transfer you to the house of Imam Hussein in Medina. When Muawiyah bin Ziyad perished, his son Yazid succeeded him. The first thing he did is to send an urgent message to the governor of Medina, who was a cousin to Yazid. Sent him a message that I want you to secure the oath of allegiance from the prominent leaders of Medina, first and foremost Al-Husayn ibn Ali. Go to him tonight, summon him to the palace and ask him to pay allegiance to the new Amir, to the new Khalifa, to the new successor to Prophet Muhammad. His name is Yazid ibn Muawiyah. So he received this message and he summoned Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein went into the palace. There was a conversation between them. There was a debate between them. He asked Imam Hussein to pay the oath of allegiance. Imam Hussein refused, and he conclusively and confidently said to him, no, categorically no. No, I'm not going to pay allegiance to Yazid. وَمِثْلِي لَا يُبَايُعُ مِثْلَهُ. Never. Never tried to ask me to pay allegiance to this man. Imam Hussein decided to leave Medina, his birthplace, but there is no more room, capacity. Medina has no capacity for Imam Hussein today, because Medina has been overwhelmed with tyranny and dictatorship. So Imam Hussein has to leave his birthplace. So he came in the middle of the night to the grave of Rasulullah, his grandfather, to the grave of his mother, the beloved Fatima al-Zahra, to the grave of his beloved brother and sibling Al-Hasan ibn Ali al-Shaheed, to pay his final and last tribute and to seek permission to leave Medina. And then he came back home, he gathered his family, and he decided to leave early morning. Imam Hussein informed all the family members that we are leaving Medina. All women, children, the adult, the young, they embarked on this journey of Hussein. Hussein alayhi salam had a little girl. Her name was Fatima al-Alila. She was disabled or unable to move and travel. Too frail to travel with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein came to her. He said, sweetie, Fatima, I'm going to leave this city, but I am going to entrust you with Salama, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and my brother Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah. You are going to be in safe hands. Don't worry, Fatima, because you are too weak to move. You are too weak to come with us to the land of Iraq. We have more than 2,000 kilometers of journey and traveling in the desert. And I am afraid that if you come with us, you will perish and die. So I decided to leave you here. She tried to convince her father, Aba Tah, Aba Abdullah, don't leave me here. I have no siblings. All my family members are leaving. So please don't leave me here. I'd rather die with you in the road. Imam Hussein said to her, sweetie, I can't do this. You are an amana, you are a trust, and I have to safeguard you, I have to protect you. But I promise you one thing, should we receive Iraq, and if we settle there in peace, I promise you that I will send your brother Ali al-Akbar or your uncle al-Abbas to bring you back, and we're going to have a family reunion in Karbala. So when she could not convince her father to go with him, she turned to him, she said, Father Abba Abdullah, I have one last request. Please do this to me. What is it? She said, I need to keep this Ali, the little baby, Abdullah al-Rabi. Abdullah at that time was probably only a few days old or a few weeks old. Keep him with me. He's a reminder of you. When I look at him, he reminds you of you and my brothers and my siblings. Imam alayhi salam said to her, Azizati Fatima, innahu tiflun ta'allaqa bi sadri ummih, bi sadri ummih. We can't do this. This little baby is attached to his mother. We cannot separate this baby. He's still nursing. We cannot separate him from his mother. صاحت آه يا بويا تنوني يا بويا حسين وياكم اخذوني يا بويا حسين وياكم اخذوني وحيدة وعم علينا تخلوني وفقتكم يا اخوتي العلة تشمالي بويا اخذوني وياكم اسرج الخيل واحط فراشكم لو تشلشل الليل. Oh father, take me with you. I am ready to serve you in this trip. Please do not leave me here in Medina. Imam Hussein finally had to leave and take this very difficult and painful decision. He entrusted her with his brother Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah and Salama Ridwanullahi alayha. He left for Iraq. She stayed at home. Whenever she heard that there is a person coming from Iraq, she would ask her brother to take him to that person. She goes and meet that person who's coming from Iraq. Alaka khabarun an ahli. Do you have any news about Imam Hussein, my father? Are they settling there? Are they safe there? Did people receive them with honor and dignity there in Iraq? Whenever she heard someone is coming, she would go on and interview him and ask him and inquire. She stayed in this state of anticipation and pain until the day of Ashura arrived. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was standing in the middle of the battlefield. After all his companions and his family members were slaughtered, including the little baby Abdullah, a man was seen rushing, coming from the side of Medina, a rider on a horse, rushing towards Imam Hussein before he started his last journey. He came to Imam Hussein, he handed in him a letter, an urgent letter. Imam Hussein opened the letter. Suddenly he burst into tears. He went inside the tent. He said, Ukhta Zainab, laqad warad al-khitab wa adum al-musab. This is a letter I received from my little daughter Fatima in Medina. She's asking and inquiring about her brother Ali al-Akbar. Is he safe? Is he healthy? She's asking about her little brother Abdullah al-Rabi'. Is he healthy and happy there? Allahu Akbar. She stayed in pain until the caravan of Imam Hussein came back to Medina, but with no leaders and no youth and no men. Suddenly she was sitting in the house. She heard the voice of the announcer declaring, Ya Ahla Yathrayb, La Muqam Lakum Biha. قتل الحسين فأدمعي مدرار. She came outside, she saw her aunt Zainab and the rest of the family without her brothers and her fathers. صدت لنعمت على الباب حزينة وعليها سود الثياب ناديت عم وين الأحباب أشوفك وحيدة وين الأحباب. نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم العز الأجل الأكرم يا الله، تقبل منا هذا اليسير بلطفك وكرمك، وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان، وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات.